backed into a few issues through Arev and through Evan Knaini and the like to two of the mitzvos of Purim, which are fundamental to our experience. We know that Purim has four mitzvos, two of which are Mikra Megillah and the Suda, but the other two, which were touched upon in the sugyas, are Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyon. And these are related concepts. Gave you a little bit of marmakomos about Matanos Levyonim. These sugyas, basically, these concepts are basically discussed around Daf Zayin in Megillah, and significantly in later sources. So when it comes to Mishloach Manos, there is a particularly fascinating history of the literature. And I think it's really special, or however you want to relate to it, the way the discussion about Mishloach Manos has developed along a very faithful line. I'll explain what I mean. That there was an analysis of Mishloach Manos that was put forward about 200 years ago and has dominated the discussion ever since. And it's unusual just to see that kind of an influence of a certain chakir, of a certain discussion. And it's an interesting process just to track how it's played out. So it really starts before that, a few hundred years before that, in the 1500s, in the days of the Ramah. The Ramah has a psak which was highly controversial and set off this whole discussion. The Ramah writes that, let's say I decide that I want to give Mishloach Manos to Jed. So, Purim morning, I call him up and I say, "Hi, I have Mishloach Manos for you. I'm going to drive down now to Lower Merion to give you the Mishloach Manos." And Jed says, "Oh, that's such a schlep. It's so nice of you. But no, please, don't come down to Lower Merion. It's 2 hours. It's the thought that counts." So I say, "Okay." And I hang up. That was the answer I was hoping for. So, according to the Ramah, I'm Yotzei. But if I offer it, and he says, "It's okay, it's the thought that counts," that's good enough. So that was a topic of a lot of controversy. The Ramah was quoting earlier sources, the Mari Brit. But many thought that that shouldn't be true. That Megillas Esther, as far as we see it, tells us, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reihu, that you will send gifts of food from one to another. It does not say that you will offer gifts of food from one to another. So why should it be enough for me just to say, okay, here this is, and not to actually give it? Maybe it shouldn't be enough. Now, it's true, we actually talked a little bit in our discussions in the past weeks about the concept of mechila, that some understand that when I am mochel a debt, I say, "You don't have to pay me back, you owe me $100, I say, "It's okay, keep it." But that means, really, that I can say it's ki'ilu hiskabalti. The reason the debt goes away is because I have the power to make it as if you actually gave me the $100, and I received it, and that's enough. So, okay, that's true by a debt. But how do you know that Mishloach Manos works this way? So, that's a question. It's not so obvious. So, that was a topic of debate, and it went on for a few hundred years, possibly stopping at some moments in between. But, basically, it was an open issue for a few centuries, until it reached the desk of the Chasam Sofer. And here's where halachic history was made, or Lomdisha history was made. That the Chasam Sofer said, "Well, is the Ramah correct? Is it true that it's the thought that counts? Well, we have to figure out what is Mishloach Manos meant to accomplish in the first place. Why do we have such an institution?" So he did some research, and he dug up two possibilities. He said, in the earlier Sfarim, we find two different models to explain what Mishloach Manos is about. One is the Trumas Hadashin. Trumas Hadashin, this is in the Kufir Aleph. Trumas Hadashin seems to say that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to help out with another component of the mitzvah of Purim, mitzvah of Purim. That since we also have an obligation of Su'udah, we have to make sure to have a festive meal. So we need to make sure that people have enough to eat. So if that's the case, So maybe we should send gifts of food so that we can help the situation. It's more likely people will have enough to make their tzedakah. While the other opinion was that of Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. Who was Rav Shlomo Alkabetz? Sorry, he's the author of L'chad Odi. So this comment that we're about to relate now is the second most famous thing he ever wrote. It's a far, far, far second, but it still gets around, so it is the second most famous thing that he ever wrote. Because in addition to L'chad Odi, he wrote a commentary to Megillas Esther. It's called the Manos HaLevi. And in the Manos HaLevi, so he has a comment and the pasuk in Megillas Esther, and it's definitely safe to say this is the most famous line in the Manos HaLevi. So he says, regarding Shalach Manos, that the purpose of Shalach Manos is to offset Haman. That Haman said about the Jews that Yeshneim Echa, there is this one nation that is scattered and dispersed, and we should get rid of them. So we want to show that Haman was wrong. Definitely about the getting rid of part, but also about the scattered and dispersed part. And we are together, even if we are geographically diverse, but we are united. And to emphasize that, or to make sure that's the case, so we send gifts to each other. And we recognize that the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So we send gifts of food, and that is going to help create these bonds of Ava, the Achva, Shalom Bereis, that we're going to feel connected to each other because of the gifts that we extend. So these are the two models that Chassam Sofer says. Chassam Sofer believes is in Kuf Tzaditas, or Chaim Kuf Tzaditas. So these are the two models. Or Chaim Kuf Tzaditas, if I remember correctly. So this idea that the Chassam Sofer frames here is that there are these two positions, and he thinks the question is the Ramah right? It really depends on which of these positions is dominant. That if you believe that the purpose of Shalach Manos is to make friends, let's say, like the Manos HaLevi, so then Taka, it's the thought that counts. Right? That they're just trying to express goodwill. So if you offer and they don't accept, fine, you still expressed goodwill. While if the purpose is to help with the Suda, so then that it's not likely that we could allow Mechila. That we can allow people to just say, you don't have to do it, it's a thought that counts. Why not? That requires a little more explanation. Because one concern is that if only the people who need it are going to take Shalach Manos, and those who don't, won't, then most people are not going to feel comfortable taking it. So a lot of the people who need it won't take it. It's not going to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. Also, it seems like you can undermine the whole thing by simply going to your rich friends and say, okay, here's some Shalach Manos, and then they say, it's okay, we don't need it, then you're Yotze. So then the poor people aren't going to get it. People who need it aren't going to get it. And that's not going to accomplish too much either. So if the purpose is to get the food to people who need it, it doesn't seem likely that Mechila is compatible with that goal, and it probably shouldn't work. So that's how the Chassam Sofer understands Mechila.
According to that understanding, would your Shalach Manos need to be eaten by at least two people?
So now, while you're bringing that question up, I'll say no, because, first of all, why would that be two people, one person? Right, Shalach Manos has to go to one person, two gifts to one person, but you're starting the whole ball rolling here of asking how far we go with nafkaminas in general, which is a fair methodological question in general. No one says that they have to actually be used by the party, but it's a fair question to start, just how much does our kiyum mitzvah have to conform to these theories? Which is, a question one could ask methodologically about a lot of things. When we have these theories, and we have conceptual understandings, and we have nafkaminas, how far do we go with them? Do we mean that they really define the mitzvah fully, and that you can't fulfill the mitzvah without them? Or is it something less than that? That's a fair question to ask in general. I think this discussion, as we'll see as we go along, tests the limits of that question in general. How far should you take a theoretical understanding of what the mitzvah is meant to do and ask if the mitzvah is no good without it. So it's a fair question to ask in general. And as you see from some of the examples that we'll mention, this sugya really kind of tests the parameters of how far you go with not doing this. So essentially, this is one that the Chassam Sofer puts out there, that the question of, is it true that it's a thought that counts? He assumes that if the Rama is understanding that it's there to make friends, then it is indeed the thought that counts. That's enough. But if the purpose is to help with the Suda, so then, no, it should actually get there, and we would not allow Mechila. That's how the Chassam Sofer set it up, and this was hugely influential. So now, essentially, in the past, let's say about 200 years, the Chassam Sofer, I think, died in 1837. I don't remember exactly when he wrote this tshuva, but let's assume it was roughly 200 years ago. So in that time, now pretty much every discussion about Shalach Manas, I think it's become a binding minig Yisrael, that you say the first sentence, well, it has to depend on the Manos HaLevi, the Shulchan Aruch HaSadashin, and the Machlokas, and somehow whatever question you have is going to tie in. So you know, if you ask, should my Shalach Manas be in a blue basket or a red basket, I'll say, well, it's the Manos HaLevi, the Shulchan Aruch HaSadashin, and the blue is more cheerful, make more friends, but red looks better on the dining room table. Somehow every issue is connected to this. Now, there was some resistance, should I just mention, that there's a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer, the Blazer Deutsch, who was a Hungarian Rav, who was the Dayan of Bonihad in Hungary. So he has a tshuva where he says this whole machlokas is really a fake machlokas. It doesn't really exist. This is before we had a fake news, a fake machlokas. He says that really everybody agrees that the purpose of Shalach Manas is to make friends. It's just that the Trumas HaDeshen was saying that once you're given gifts already, so davar b'ito matov, so you should give something that is what people need that day. So since that day, they're looking to try to put together enough for their suda, so that's the kind of gift that will be especially appreciated. But there isn't really a difference between the two. They both think that that's what it's about, and it's not really my focus. But he lost this discussion, and the Chassam Sofer's tshuva, again, incredibly influential, and you'll find it, maybe somebody wants to write a research paper for college just to see how many discussions of Shalach Manas in the past 200 years invoke this. I think it would be an interesting class that would give you credit for that. Yes, sir?
According to the Bavarian language,
well, so that's an interesting question, because so why are you assuming people usually have that? I can tell you, from the direct experience, it's not necessarily the case. You know, certainly many people very much would happy to have Shalach Manas that will supplement their suda. Now, it is a question, how much should that affect the parameters of what we do? So, first of all, prioritize that which really makes sense in the context of the suda, because nowadays, a lot of what we give doesn't really have much shaychus to a suda. Also, a lot of it is milchik, and if you're assuming people have inflation suda, so it's really not going to be consistent with the suda. I'm laughing, remembering when I was a student here. So, Rabbi Rapp, Shlita, he always picked me for a Shalach Manas because I was a big fan of something that doesn't exist anymore. There used to be such a thing about old Avdim called bagel dogs, which they sold in the vending machines in Morg, which cost like $1.50, and it was a hot dog inside of a bagel. So, there. This is the cheapest mohudr Shalach Manas. You can buy a bagel dog, it's fleishik, it has bread, and then you put a drink with it, and you have a whole suda there, and it's very efficient. So that, you know, that's something to talk about. So one question is, how much should you aim it towards something which is suda compatible? And presumably also, it makes sense to focus it on people who are most likely to need it. That's the second question. Now, maybe we'll have time to get into this a little bit more. One could make the case that Shalach Manas, on the one hand, is meant to help people who need it. But at the same time, it's got its own unique format to it. So on Purim, we have Matanos Levionim also. And so we have really, if this is what Shalach Manos is about, so we have two staccato-oriented mitzvahs. And maybe the point is that there's supposed to be a difference between the two. That Matanos Levionim is the overt staccato that we're comfortable acknowledging as staccato, and it's not disguised in any way. It's clearly charitable gifts. While Mishloach Manos is meant to be bedavka, something that is helpful in a less obvious way, and is meant to actually provide for people without being perceived as stuck. So, if that's the case, one may also say, all right, I could use that logic to also suggest that that's why davka we should give Shloach Manos to lots of people, and not just the people who we perceive as potentially needing it, because we're trying to kind of conceal what's happening. We're trying to let it be something that doesn't carry any kind of stigma along with it, and therefore if people were only going to be giving the Shloach Manos people they think need it, like we sometimes find in other areas of life where it's a little bit awkward, that it looks like you're trying to be helpful, but at the same time it looks like you're targeting people because you perceive them being in need. So then maybe adarabba, we should be giving our Shloach Manos far and wide and hope that through that process it will also include the people who genuinely do need it. So here there's a lot of variables. It's interesting, there are some who suggest there's a whole discussion as to why there's no bracha on Shloach Manos. And there's some who suggest that maybe it's because if you're going to make a bracha on Shloach Manos, or make a bracha on any mitzvah, you have to identify the mitzvah that you're doing with the bracha, and maybe that's the whole thing, is that Shloach Manos is supposed to be kind of like a stealth Matanos Levionim, and if you're going to recite a bracha, it's going to undermine what's going on, and you have to identify the purpose, and that's not what we're hoping to do. So it's interesting, the logic could take us in a few different directions, which again goes to the whole question of how far do we go with the Nafka Minas and the logic. But Chassam Sofer again set the path, and many followed him. And to show that this was a path, he himself, before finishing the tshuva, so he has one more nafka mina, that he notes that the Ramah says that everyone's chayiv in Shloach Manos, men and women. So what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't women be obligated? So he doesn't think that women shouldn't be obligated, but he thinks maybe that married women shouldn't be obligated, that maybe they should fulfill on their own, through their husbands. And if you're providing for people's sudas, so then maybe that should be a family responsibility. So he thought that this Ramah was the Shitaso, that if you believe that the idea is that you are helping people with sudas, and economically that might be the conclusion you come to, that it shouldn't be something that a married woman has a personal obligation to do. But if it's about making friends, and that's the Ramah's position, so then as an individual, you still have that mitzvah, and maybe that's the Ramah l'shitaso. So I'll mention a few more applications, but maybe before I do so, any come to mind? Anything you could think of that might be an nafka mina between these two, in addition to what's already been suggested?
The kind of stuff you could give.
Okay, so that's related to what we were discussing with Yisrael before. Zebediah?
If the person doesn't know.
Doesn't know what? Did he got it?
Yeah.
Well, then that's...
He doesn't know that you gave
it. Oh. So here, it's an interesting discussion. So among those who follow the Chassam Sofer's lead here is at least one posek who you can excuse because he had a chiyuv of kibarav to do so. The Tshuva's Ksav Sofer has a Tshuva about Shloach Manos too. And there, he notes Zebediah's question. So this... is unfortunately, it's a throwback to a more innocent time. Nowadays, I would not recommend leaving unmarked packages on people's porches. But once upon a time, you could do that, and it wouldn't get anybody scared. You could leave a package without any identification, and it would be okay. So what if you give Shloach Manos anonymously? People don't know who it is. So again, the Ksav Sofer assumes, like I assume Zed does also, because that's why he was giving it as nafka mina, but that it should depend on this issue. And it's interesting, because it does flip completely, if he's correct, that if the issue is that you're trying to make friends, so they're not going to know who to be friends with. Now, you might object, and I can understand it. You might say, well, but even better, then they'll just be happy about the whole Jewish people. It won't be directed towards any individual, but they'll say, oh, what a wonderful community we have, and that'll be enough. But he assumes that, no, the whole purpose is to create a specific bond between identifiable individuals, and it won't accomplish that. But if the idea is it's supposed to help in the Suda, so then you could say the highest Madrega, one of the highest Madregas of Staka, is when the giver is anonymous. So Adarabba, better to be anonymous rather than to identify yourself. So that's how we understood it. Again, it's worth emphasizing here as well that, so how far do you want to go with this? So would you say that if somebody gave Shalach Manos and put a card there with his name, and the card fell out, that he wasn't Yotze? Again, I don't know exactly where you draw the line with using these svaras to create nafkaminas. I think more, perhaps the better spirit to take it in is, and this is a good perspective on a lot of things, that our question doesn't necessarily have to be, are you Yotze this way or that way, but we're looking to do all the mitzvos in a idealized fashion. In general, we want to try to accomplish whatever it is we're looking to do in a way that's most reflective of its goals. So it's probably the best angle towards a lot of these nafkaminas, that we're not necessarily saying that you're not going to be Yotze if X or Y isn't there. But l'chadchila, we're looking to do this mitzvah and any mitzvah in a way that most closely reflects what it's about. So what would that dictate us doing? Okay, so any other nafkaminas you can suggest before I give you some more? Kiva?
If you're invited to a play shape suda, bring milchik.
Yeah, so that's also, we mentioned that a lot of Shalach Manos today are milchik, and it doesn't seem to necessarily really address the suda purpose. So you're also assuming, which is interesting, or that's the way you phrased it, that you're bringing Shalach Manos with you, you're a guest at somebody's suda, and you're bringing it there to contribute to the suda, which is an interesting scenario. It's not the only way that we understand it, but either way, the assumption is probably most people are having fleishiks for Purim Suda. It's an interesting discussion whether you have to have fleishiks for Purim Suda or not. That's a separate talk. But, sorry? Yeah, for sure. You have to have fleishiks for Purim breakfast. All right, but yeah, you're fleishiks for sure after that. But so people generally tend to be fleishik for their Suda on Purim. So if we're really trying to actualize that function, it would seem that's kedai. Some people, so not everyone goes so far, like with the bagel dog we're saying. So not everyone goes so far. Sometimes people give deli sandwiches, I've seen that. You know, these are more, I guess you could call it, more muhudr, more closely reflecting some of the goals. Probably a cheaper way to do that is if you send, let's say, some part of cake. So that's something that is usable for dessert at a fleishik suda and is compatible with that environment. So that's probably a more cost-efficient way to address that component, if you want to say that's what's going on. Jonah?
In terms of other nafkamina, possibly, we talk about shliflus. Is shliflus ideal?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. So I got to tell you my history with that. I used to think that this was the one issue that was not Tali. I'll ask you, maybe explain why you think it is Tali. But just first of all, the history of shliflus by Shalach Manos is worth pointing out. That there is a whole discussion. Is the Binyan Siyan who really started it, based on Iran. There's a statement in the Iran that the Binyan Siyan was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who was one of the Rebbeim of Rav Shamshon of Falhirsch. He also wrote the Sefer Aruch Lener on many Masechtas. So the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger and his Shuvas Binyan Siyan, he really got this whole discussion rolling based on the Iran, that maybe Shalach Manos should require Davka Shliach. Is that what you were saying, actually? Or you're saying it's a kubi definition?
They could argue the opposite.
Can you do with a shlichus?
Yeah.
Right.
For Manos Halevi, you could ask that as a question.
Okay.
If you really want to be Margaret Reyes, then you think that you should do it directly and that there's a direct relationship.
Okay, so.
So
thank you for, again, illustrating the flexibility of some nafkaminas. Because here, first of all, so the discussion about shlichus, halachically, before you get just how to apply it, is that you have basically this discussion, that maybe Adarabi, maybe you have to have a shliach. That's an interesting discussion. It's strange halachically because normally we say that command you lamatzi avid shlichus lamatzi mashva, that you can't appoint a shliach for something that you yourself can't do. So to have a halachic concept where the mitzvah requires shlichus is problematic. How could it be that you can only do it through shlichus? Shlichus either works or doesn't work, but to have something that only works through shlichus is not only unusual, it's problematic. It doesn't usually fit the rules of shlichus. So the Dvar Avraham has an essay about this where he points out that this notion, if should we accept it, it doesn't mean halachic shlichus of shlucha shel adam kemoso, that the person becomes your halachic agent. And this is a little bit of synergy for chazaring some of the points that we spoke about, and we saw, for example, in the context of Eved Kenani, such an idea, right, that we're not necessarily predicating every action where a third party is involved on halachic shlichus. So here also, it says, we don't mean shlucha shalom kamoso. We mean that you have to have an emissary, you have to have a messenger to take the shalach manas for you, according to this idea. So the Maskan in the Binyan Sian himself doesn't think you really need it, and others as well don't accept this lahalacha. Occasionally, once in a while, you hear somebody being makbid on this, but for the most part, people don't seem to accept this as halacha lemaisa. So I used to think that this was one issue that was not at all connected to the Binyan, to the Maros Alev and the Trumas Hadeshan, because either way, if you're trying to make friends, or you are trying to help with the Suda, you'll still accomplish both by giving it yourself. Neither one is going to be better if you do it through Shlichus. Then I saw that the Satmar Rav has a truth about this, where he assumes that there is a correlation between the view of the Manos Alevi and this idea. That maybe if you say the Manos Halevi is about making friends, the Shlichus part, the Shlichus Chiyuv, makes a little more sense. How?
More
you have to.
Involved.
Sorry? Well, you have to, because you make Chibur Reis to him, you mean. Right, that's also true. But I think what he's getting at, he has a raya for this from the Gemara, but he could paint the picture the following way, which isn't how he does it, but this will express what he's talking about. So let's go back to using Zedidiah. So Jed's scenario, which I said he's going to be in Lower Merion, so really in the morning he's going to be closer to us. So let's imagine the following scenario. Let's say I'm walking around the street giving out shalach manos to all my real friends. And as I'm walking the street, I happen to run into Jed. So Jed says, oh, you have shalach manos, thank you so much. And I say, oh, hi, yes, totally, that's right. And I quickly cross out a name on a card, and I give it to Jed, and then I run back into my house to try to put together something else for the person I was really going to. So that's scenario A. Okay, so I gave Jed shalach manos under scenario A. Now let's imagine scenario B. Jed, as he's probably thinking of doing, is helping with a kollel program in the North Pole for Purim. So comes next Purim, he's in the North Pole. So Purim morning comes, and the dog, the St. Bernard, comes and knocks on his igloo. They have igloos in the North Pole?
Yeah, sure.
So he comes out, and he sees that there's a package of shalach manos from me. So as scenario A and scenario B, both cases he got shalach manos from me. Which situation is he going to feel warmer about at a time when he could use warmth? What's going to create that closer feeling? So the point is, presumably, the second one, I see you have to think about it.
It shows kavana?
Yeah, it shows kavana, that it's impossible to get a third party involved without forethought. If I give it to you directly, it could be you're the first person I ran into in the street. But if I send somebody to give it to you, so then clearly I'm thinking about you, especially because you're not in my immediate presence right now. That's why I got somebody else. And it's both intentional and despite the fact that you're not there. So that shows an actual forethought, act of friendliness, and perhaps that's a little better. Again, how far do you want to go with this? Whatever it is. But that perhaps reflects a little bit more friendliness than had I given it to you directly. Okay, so that's how he understands how it's going to impact things. Any other thoughts you could think of? Any other possible nafkaminas? Yes, sir.
If you give it to somebody who's not religious, so they're not going to have a perm suva, but they're going
to... Okay, so that's interesting. Are you saying, to phrase it, somebody who's not going to have a perm suva for whatever reason, so as they're still an Indian. So I definitely recommend doing it one way or another, but it's an interesting question whether it should matter. Because it's interesting to Claire, because I say not going to. So do we give up hope that they're for sure not going to? Or well, this maybe will make them have a permit. Oh, now I have food. I have festive food. So maybe...
But after they don't know the concept. Like,
yeah, and then we send a package saying, happy Purim, here's some food. It's a pretty neat trick, right? So we're going to sit down and eat it. Maybe that'll make them have a Purim Suda. So that's an interesting question. But on the one level, even if they're not going to, so I wonder, similar to what I said to the other Akiva before, that do we have to assume that they will eat it, or is it enough that you're providing what's a possibility? So for sure we don't actually require them to eat it. So maybe it's also enough that not only are they not going to eat my specific food, but as far as you know, they're not even planning on having a suda at all, that maybe this should still be something that's towards that. But that's an interesting question. Any other thoughts you have before I give away some answers? Any other possible nafkaminas you could think of? Well, what about timing? The Ramah has a chumrah. The Ramah says that when you send the Shalach Manas, it has to get there on Purim, not before Purim. Certainly not after Purim, but not before Purim either. And we'll go a little farther than that. Before Purim, he means Purim day, because the mitzvos of Purim, for the most part, are really daytime mitzvos. They're all applicable really during the daytime. And even Mikra Megillah, which we do at night, so that's a whole discussion we could have. It's very likely that that is very much secondary to the daytime reading, even though sociologically it tends not to be. But the daytime reading of the Megillah, that's probably the dominant chiyuv. And the fact that we read at night may even be a later institution. It's a whole discussion. Whatever it is, the mitzvot of Purim are really during the daytime. So whatever we might think about drinking on Purim is a whole separate discussion, but definitely anybody you see drinking at night is a Batar saying the Mitzvah V'yos at best. Let's say it's not, it's really not a kiyum of kamat anything, almost according to anybody. But for all practical purposes, it's not a kiyum of anything for sure. Not necessarily recommending during the day either. That's a separate discussion we can have. But during the nighttime, there's nothing to talk about. And it's not even something that there is what to hang your cup on. So, but the mitzvahs are generally during the daytime in Purim. So, along those lines, the Ramah says it has to get there on Purim day. And before, it's no good. So why? Why can't it get there before? So if you want to say that the issue is that you want it for the Suda, so if it gets there before, or you have it for the Suda, so good. Now, in a Hanami, back in the day, they didn't have refrigeration, so it's not like you can send it 3 months before, but you can send it technically before Purim starts, and certainly Purim night, and there should be enough relevance to the Purim Suda. So it seems like what the Ramah is getting at is that because he understands it to be not so much about helping with food, but about creating this bond of Avav Yachav Shalom Gareis, so the question is, when does that happen? When is the Kiyum Mitzvah? So presumably, the Kiyum Mitzvah is during the OHN moment. The OHN moment is, oh how nice. When do they say, oh how nice? So they say, oh, how nice, where they get it. So if they get it the night before, even if they have it still to eat the next day, it's already worn off. Now, it's wonderful to make people feel happy and flattered any time of the year, but if there's a mitzvah to do it on Purim, so then that means they have to receive it on Purim. Now, just as a footnote to this, so I said, but clearly not after Purim, that doesn't seem to make sense, but maybe it does on some level. There is a tshuva of the Kadjigal of Rav, mentioned him in the past, he always has fascinating things to say. So the Kadjigal of Rav, as I think I mentioned in the past, two dominant qualities of the tshuvas of the Kadjigal of Rav is they're always very creative and interesting, and he's always trying to be a Malamik Zchus and Klal Yisrael. He's always trying to explain why the Jews do what they do. So he has a tshuva asking, why is it that we see sometimes that people are running around delivering Shalach Manas, including after Purim is over, you still see them running around delivering Shalach Manas. What are they accomplishing then? So he suggests, maybe there is a key, that we know that people have their sudos on Purim, usually Purim afternoon, and the assumption, which seems to be a correct assumption, is apparently that if your suda spills over into the night, and for whatever percentage of it is after dark, that's still considered to be part of the Purim suda. So therefore, it says the Kadjigal Avraham, that if you can continue your Purim suda after Purim is over, and if the point of Shalach Manas is to help with the Purim Suda, so then maybe, as funny as it sounds, it's possible to help with the Purim Suda after Purim is over, and Shalach Manas could be relevant there also. Any other questions? What do you think? Yes, Israel.
What happens if you ship the Shalach Manas before Purim, so the person receives it before Purim, but they don't open it until Purim day?
So I think that goes back to some of the questions we've seen here also. There's only so much you are responsible for. Presumably you're responsible that they should get it on that day, which also requires a little bit of control over things that aren't always in your hands, so a little bit of trying to take a hands-on approach. But you can't control what they do with it. So I think the same way you can't control whether they'll eat it, you can't control whether they'll have a proof suit at all. So they're not opening it. That's probably not something that you, I would just assume, probably not something that you are liable for. Any other thoughts? Any other possible nafkaminas? What do you think? What else would you apply to this question? So I'll tell you another one that just kind of illustrates a little bit the flexibility of nafkaminas. So this one maybe also just shows you how sometimes this could be stretched one way or another. But the question is also discussed by some poskim. Can you give Shalach Manas to a katan? So everyone agrees, of course, that it's Tali and the Chassam Sofer. The question is just how. So I've seen some Sfarim that say, well, if it's because of friendship, so then you're only friends with people in your own age group. But if it's because of Suda, Kadin also has a Suda together with his family, so that could work. While others say, no, of course it's Tali, but it's the other way, that if it's because of the Suda, so Kadin doesn't have a Chiv in Mitzvah, doesn't have a Chiv in Suda. But if it's because of making friends, yeah, you can make friends with somebody of any age group, why not? And therefore, it does work.
Isn't the latter case more compelling?
You're definitely free to see it as compelling. It could be. Again, like, so this, I think that particular example shows again how far you want to go with these things is a little bit sometimes subjective. There are many, many other issues that are connected to this. Yes, sir?
But isn't like the pasuk that Matzalei is referring to that it's that Am Yisrael is an Am, as Mitzvah Zan Yisrael, imply that it's every, like, Haman didn't differentiate between the children and
the adults, so it's a little hard to say. Well, that could be. That's another good idea, but I think the point, as far as I've seen taking the stance, is that, no, Tanim should be included. The question is, who should you give Shalach Manas to? So you should give Shalach Manas to somebody who you can create a bond of reis with. So it doesn't mean the katanim should be left out. They should give to each other.
Would that indicate that there is a chiyuv?
Maybe. Again, in some, especially in this particular application, you see there is some subjectivity to it. Or did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just
So just for the record, also, because we discussed this, so I put this on our Fumos the other day, so there are some who also explained the Gemara Megillah and Dav Zayin in this vein, where the Gemara talked about the two Barazim brothers who didn't have enough food to go around, so they would invite each other, they would go to each other's houses, and they would give each other their food, and that's how they would be Yotze, both Shalach Manas and Suda in the same shop. And the Ran there comments about how that's what was going on, that they were essentially just trading. Gemara says, Machalfi Ahadadi. And there's some explain that this must be more the Manos Halevi, that if the idea is like the Shrimah Sadesha, it doesn't seem that it helps too much if you're not generating more food in the pot. But if the idea is you want to show goodwill, okay, so perhaps here they're just trading with each other, that should be enough. Another issue that comes up is, let's say you want to send Shalach Manas to a very wealthy person, and you send him a half-drunk can of Diet Pepsi and a pretzel. So it's not really going to make it onto his radar screen. Or, let's say the other way around. Let's say he sends you that Shalach Manas. So you might say, well, you know, normally I'm pretty happy to get half a bottle of that Pepsi and a pretzel, but considering what he's capable of, this really is not too impressive. So that's the position of the Ritva. The Ritva writes in his commentary to Megillah that a dover cotton li'ashir or a dover cotton me'ashir, that when you're dealing with a very wealthy person, if you're going to give something very small, that's not going to work. Now, if it's just about the suda, so then presumably you should say, plug, whatever it is, if it makes some kind of minimal requirements, and there's some discussion what is the shear of Shalach Manas, so then it should be enough. But this issue that it should be relevant somehow to the relative importance of the individual we're talking about, that seems to be a Chivarei's idea. So here the Ritva is writing this, he comes before the Manas Halevi, but it seems like the Ritva's position is maybe consistent with the Manas Halevi's position. There is also a discussion about, and this is really another one that really does seem pretty compelling, and this does flip in opposite directions. The question of, we sometimes find that Beis Din can compel the fulfillment of certain mitzvahs, kofen ala mitzvahs. So if somebody refuses to give Shalach Manas, so can we and should we as a community compel him to give Shalach Manas? So this is an essay about this in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz by Rucholti. So there he suggests that if the idea is that we're trying to make friends, it doesn't seem like it's going to be too impressive when you show up on your friend's porch with the U.S. Marshals and say, I am hereby obligated to give you this gift. I hope you like it. It's probably not going to be too impressive. But on the other hand, that if it's about staka, so we do find, actually, kofenal at staka. We find that sometimes we did use Beis Din powers to compel people to give staka. So therefore, it perhaps makes sense here as well. This idea that you said that according to the Manas Halevi, it's not going to look so good when they show up with the marshals. Some also explain that way the question we mentioned earlier about why is there no bracha in Shalach Manas. So some say that's also the reason, because when you come with a gift and people say, oh, thank you, that's so nice. Well, actually, hold on a second. Blessed is God who commanded me and forced me and ordered me to give you this gift. So you say, you know what? I'm not so impressed anymore. It's not going to necessarily have the same impact. Just that discussion about the bracha is interesting from a very technical perspective, that some ask as a raya against the Rama, that it's a very roundabout raya, that there's a well-known tshuva l'Rashba. If you ever want to know what mitzvos get brachos and what mitzvos don't, so the first Mar Makom that's always quoted is the Rashba, tshuva l'Rashba. And then, if that doesn't answer your question, there's a Beis Yosef, which is a separate discussion. But the Rashba has a tshuva where he talks about staka, and it sounds like what he's saying is that the reason you don't have a bracha in staka is because you are afraid that the person you're giving it to may decline. So since it's dependent on his acceptance, if he decides not to take it, then your bracha is not going to attach to anything. Is that really what the Rashba means? The whole discussion, that's what it sounds like. So some say this is a problem for the Rama, because that could have explained why there's no bracha on Shalach Manas too. Except, according to the Rama, it's not true, right? According to the Rama, if the recipient doesn't accept it, you're still Yotze, so there should be no risk involved. Now, it's not necessarily such a powerful point, because I don't know if the Rama would say, if you brought Shalach Manas to someone's house, and they said, huh, from you, never, and they slam the door in your face, and they send it scattered all over the porch. I don't know if that, he would say, you're Yotze. I think he says that you're Yotze, if they're Muslim, they say, oh, it's a thought that counts, thank you, I'm so happy for the offer, but I don't need it. That's one thing, but I think there still could be a scenario where you may not fulfill the mitzvah at all, because they refuse to participate. But in any event, that's also a part of the discussion. So one other just interesting nafkamina, and this is one which maybe could be one of the first ones that might come to mind, is what if you want to send something other than food? Let's say specifically Divrei Torah. You want to send, you want to write up some Divrei Torah instead and send that around to your friends. Could that be a fulfillment of Shalach Manas? Now, you could ask the question from two angles. You could say that sometimes we find that Divrei Torah is compared to food. Like there's a discussion about this for Shal Shudas, that maybe instead of having to eat Shal Shudas, you could say Divrei Torah instead, based on a Zohar. But you don't have to necessarily come on to that for this. You could say, if it's about creating bonds, so what better bond can you create than through Divrei Torah? So that could depend on this. Here it's just interesting as far as L'shitaso, and as far as how this plays out. So who are we saying so far holds the view that it's about making friends? Right, the Manos HaLevi, and who is he explaining? Or who is he they're associated with the Rama, right? So historically, I think both the Rama and the Manos HaLevi actually did this. The Sefer Manos HaLevi that we're talking about, believe, was written by Shlomo HaKibetz to be given out to his friends as Shalach Manas. And I think the Rama did the same thing. The Rama wrote a Sefer, which used to be hard to get, but now I think it's on HebrewBooks.org. I think nothing's hard to get, Baruch Hashem, but I think it's available online. He wrote a Sefer called Mechir Yayin, where he darshans every word of the Megillah, literally. Vayihi, as a drasha. Bimei, a drasha. Achashverish is a drasha. It's this very interesting work. So I think the Rama also gave this out to his friends as Shalach Manas. So it's l'shitasam that here these two machabrim wrote svarim that they gave out of Shalach Manas. L'shitasam, both of them, their joint position here that this could be a fulfillment of Shalach Manas. So there are many, many more nafkaminas. Again, this is an ongoing work in progress. The Klal Yisrael is building on to the tower that Chassam Sofer built. But I'll just mention one point, Al-Pidar Chadrush, the point that was made by Reb Nachum Zemba. I think we've mentioned him in the past. The great Reb Nachum Zemba had a Ha'ara. As the Gemara says in the Gilla and Daf Yudalit, the Gemara raises the question, why was it that the Jews in the time of Achashverosh, why did they deserve to be so close to destruction? Have such a close call. So the Gemara says there were two things they did wrong. Sorry? The Gemara asks the language of the Gemara actually is Megillah Daf Yudalid. Amay nischaivu sonehem shel Yisrael ba'olsodor kloya. For what reason were the Jews, as a euphemism say, sonehem shel Yisrael, the Jews, why were the Jews deserving of death, of kloya, of destruction at that time? So the Gemara has two answers. Either mipnei shenanu misudaso shlosh l'rasha, because they partook in Achashverosh's party, and the issue was not the kashrus of the food, but many other things. So maybe that was the problem. Or mipnei shenishtachavu l'tzelem, that they bowed down to the Avodah Zarah, that Haman had a tzelem around his neck, and he made people bow down to him, and that was the issue of Avodah Zarah. the Gemara asked, well, if it wasn't actual Zara, and then the response is, well, they weren't actually destroyed, so it matches. But in any event, these are the two candidates for what they did wrong, that it's either about the Sudas Achashverosh or about a Zara. So Menachem Zemba points out that the two reasons that we have for Shalach Manas, which correspond to the Suda, so that really reflects these two issues. That if the idea was Sudas Achashverosh, that we partook in an inappropriate Suda, so what's the best corrective to the inappropriate Suda? An appropriate Suda. So Sudas Purim is really what fixes that, and we try to help and make sure everyone can indeed have a Sudas Purim. And if the issue was of Adazara, then the Medrash says in Parshas Tzav that Shalom is terrific, Shalom is great. Sebizman Shehem B'chavur Achas, that when the Jews create one unified whole, then Afilu Avdu Adazara Nimachal Hem, even if they had done Adazara, I would forgive them. So the corrective for Adazara is Shalom, and therefore this is something that brings about Shalom. Okay, so these are some thoughts, the many more nafkaminas. We will stop here, though, and we'll dive in. And again, tomorrow, so we'll start both in Seder and Shir, or continue in Seder, start in Shir.